You're listening to Charlotte Real Estate Talk with Pridemore Properties.
Hello, Scott Pridemore here with Mike Hagee for another episode of Charlotte Real Estate Talk. Today, we are fortunate to welcome Billy Brown. Billy Brown, thank you for joining us on the show today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be on here and, you know, excited to share with you my story of, you know, overcoming adversity, you know, and getting into the real estate business. And, you know, it all started, you know, back just when I was 2 years old, you know, involved in a car accident. You know, was burned 65% of my body, third degree, you know, my face, arms, you know, lost most of my fingers, you know, ended up with just four fingers left on my right hand. And, you know, had to learn at an early age to be an overcomer. You know, I realized that people would be very judgmental. You know, people could be cruel.
Right.
And, you know, growing up, my mom always told me that, you know, people are going to treat you how you treat yourself. And that definitely set a course in my life to always be, you know, in love with myself and not be worried about what everybody else thinks.
You know,
just be who I am. And everybody will be attracted to you based on that.
Billy, let me just sort of hit pause. I love that. Your mom said, please repeat that. She said,
but, you know, I became started to become depressed, kind of, you know, feeling sorry for myself. And my mom got me, I was 12 years old. And
yeah,
she said, Billy, people will treat you how you treat yourself.
I love that.
Wow. You treat yourself as a victim, you become a target. But if you love yourself, then people want to be around you.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
I'm going to share that with my children. You know, they are obviously not, they didn't have an experience such as yourself to get to that place, but I think that's perspective that everybody could use. So Billy, if you don't mind, let's back up just a little bit. Tell us a little bit, just maybe the day, you know, when, you know, your life changed. Can you just give us a snapshot, our listeners, so they understand what you went through?
Yeah, it was 4th of July weekend. We were traveling from family back out of Texas, and I was asleep in the back of a station wagon. We had the long old station wagon, and unknown to us, there was a guy behind us in an 18-wheeler that had, you know, been up several days taking speed pills, trying to stay awake so he could make money. And he fell asleep at the wheel, and he ran into the back of our car, and it flipped our car into a ditch, and immediately the car caught on fire. And my mom and dad were able to get out, but they couldn't get to the kids. We were in the back. My sister, a gentleman, pulled her out, but I actually fell inside the gas tank. So the left side of my body was on fire inside the gas tank. They couldn't get to me. The fire department got there and they said, you know, he's probably dead. And my mom said, dead or alive, I want my baby out of the car. So they got down in the ditch and pulled me out. Within, you know, 10 seconds of pulling me out, the car exploded. So, you know, I was literally 10 seconds away from not being on the call today. And,
wow.
You know, from there, they took me, you know, to a local hospital. And, you know, I had 72 different bones broken in my body. My back was broke, my neck was broke, and both hips. So, you know, going to the hospital, they pretty much said he's going to die. And, you know, from there, they had to take me in. And I remember the day after the wreck, you know, coming out of surgery after they had to go in and amputate my fingers because they got infected. He just cried and said, why did they take my fingers? And, you know, now that I don't have any fingers on my hand. And, you know, my mom reassured me that, hey, everything is going to be okay, that there's a bigger purpose than what I'm seeing right now in my future.
That's incredible. I mean,
wow.
Your mother had, she was given no reason to believe anything other than what she was being told,
right,
from, you know, the firemen, I'm sure the doctors, just really, you know, just defying in the face of every reason just to say, oh yeah, you're right. You know, this is bad. And I'm just going to give up. Instead, she made a decision to not give up on you, her child. And obviously, and really, if you look at the grand scheme of things, it's really incredible. She knew that you would be serving a bigger and greater purpose. And you've proven that for what you've been able to overcome and accomplish and impact the lives that you do, being a speaker that travels all across the country to tell your story. So as you're growing up and you know, you're getting this encouragement from your mom, your parents, and I'm sure you get into school being at school age. You know, how did you deal with interactions with students? Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Well, you know, it's kind of a twofold experience. You know, first, right after being put in a hospital within, you know, a couple of weeks' time, you know, my dad walked out of the burn unit and left me and never came back.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, my mom was, you know, she went through this tragic event, and I remember my dad looking at me and saying, "I don't want a son who's been burned," and walking out and never coming back, you know, and that was tragic to me because prior to the accident, he was dad of the year. You know, we'd be outside planting flowers, cutting grass, fishing, you know, whatever. And all of a sudden, it was like a light switch. He just changed. So I realized really quick that people would perceive me different. And as I went home and I had to wear the mask covering my scars and the bandages, and, you know, when kids would stare or say something, or even adults would say stuff, you know, they would ask my mom to take me out of a store or a restaurant because they didn't like the way I looked. So, you know, I didn't think a whole lot of it as a kid, but when I arrived at school, it became very quickly prevalent that, you know, people would judge me based on that. And, you know, and I would be called names. I'd be called, you know, things from burnt charcoal to Freddy Krueger, you know. And at that time, I thought it was just you got in a fight and that's how you solved everything. And, you know, after a couple trips to the principal's office and a little corporal punishment, you realize that that's not the way to do it. So I had to find a better way. And I just had to learn to be a bigger person. And that's when, you know, my mom had that talk with me about loving myself. And it's amazing how overnight I went from being the guy that was picked on, the guy that stood out by himself, to the next day of my mom telling me that, how people wanted to be around me. And, you know, and then all of a sudden I went out, you know, I started playing sports and, you know, playing football and soccer, you know, and having friends and people at my house. And it's amazing how when you fall in love with yourself and you're confident in who you are and you know who you belong to, how your walk is totally different now. People perceive you.
Absolutely. That's, wow. That's so incredible. And I totally agree that, you know, there's, once you believe, you can't expect someone else to believe in you if you don't believe in yourself, and then, right, and love yourself. You can't be loved if you don't love yourself. So I can totally appreciate that.
Gosh, Billy, I'm just sure there's more than once in your life. I mean, you felt like, you know, you had the urge to just give up or quit. And, you know, I can't do this anymore. I mean, those feelings would be natural. I mean, how did you look yourself, pick yourself up every day and just keep, what were the daily habits that you had to learn to overcome this adversity and just call it other people, call it, you know, whatever the label is. But how did you just overcome those times and keep pressing forward?
You know, that's a great question because we all struggle with that every day. You know, our biggest enemy and our biggest opponent is the person we look at in the mirror every day. You know, we can point the finger at people and associates, coworkers, people in the community, but it all starts that day when you get up, you walk into your bathroom to brush your teeth, and you see yourself in the mirror. You know, what do you think of yourself? What are you telling yourself, whether it be verbal or nonverbal? And that's why, you know, I started at a young age writing on my mirror positive quotes, you know, positive Bible verses, and I am love, I live in purpose. And so I have that 10 minutes every morning of 10 minutes to 15 minutes of power, you know, where I speak life into my life. You know, I speak positivity, and my kids do it when they're brushing their teeth. They have these quotes in front of them, because if I don't prepare for today and prepare my mind to deflect those things coming at me, then I just become working for everybody else. And because every day that I walk out my house, people are judging me based on how I look. I mean, it is what it is. But most people see past that because I don't live in that moment. That's not my story. I show up and I love on people. I'm the person that walks in a room hugging on people. And there's still days that I get down and, you know, I'm like, man, just, you know, why am I doing this? Or, you know, what are people thinking of me? And that's human nature.
Sure.
But then I quickly go back to my why. You know, why do I do what I do?
Wow.
You know, because I want to make a difference in people's life. And then, and my purpose, if I get up today, and this is the way I live my life every day, no matter what happens to me today, no matter what somebody says, how they treat me, but if I can make a difference in one life today, then I've done my job.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's all about the attitude. I mean, and the mindset. And that's what I'm hearing you say, is that you've overcame all that adversity in many ways based on preparing for the day, winning the day early on to prepare for whatever life may throw at you.
I mean, really, I mean, Billy, tell me if I'm wrong, but it's almost like this challenge that you've experienced has put you in a position to, it's almost like it now it's a, it was something that held you back, but you've made a decision to be intentional. So then it is actually an experience that you may not take away as a result of what you've been able to accomplish and the people that you've been able to impact in a positive way through that experience.
Right. Well, and it's a perspective, you know, and I shared a story that me and my cousin were both in the car accident, and, you know, he had got burned, and not as severe, but it's two different perceptions, because, all right, I could live as a victim, or I could become victorious and share this experience with everybody and realize that it was not a curse put on my life, but a blessing put in my life.
Sure.
You know, and if I had to do it all over again, I'd go do it again, because of the, you know, tens of thousands of people that it's helped, and the kids that I speak in front of, that I'm changing their lives. And, you know, my cousin went, and he lived in the mode of being a victim, you know, and he dropped out of school. You know, he got into gangs and drugs, and, you know, and even today, you know, in his 40s, he's still living that gang drug lifestyle because he feels sorry for himself every day. And, you know, I look at it as God gave me the opportunity to be different, to stand out, to not just be another face in the crowd, but to be somebody that people see and say, what happened to him? Or they want to get to know me. Or when I do speak, you know, I can say, hey, I've been there, you know, because we've all had some kind of fire in our life, whether it be physically, emotionally, financially, you know, and I always tell people, you know, I've been through all that, whether it be an emotional or relationship or, you know, highs and lows in the business, you know, and it's all about me knowing that there's a greater purpose ahead of me than the moment I'm living right now. So if I'm going through difficulty right now, that's just making me better to help somebody down the road. So that I take everything as a challenge.
Wow. Billy, I'm curious. I mean, you've helped so many people along the way in the journey. What do you want to most be remembered as or for?
Well, I want to be remembered the most as somebody who cared enough to lend a helping hand, to see somebody make a difference in their life. Because, you know, the world can be a cruel place, and people get beat up, you know, every day, whether it be especially with social media and sales. And, you know, I remember when I got into the real estate business, being told, similar to when I wanted to play football, being told, you can't play, you're disabled. And I'm like, no, I'm going to play. And then when I got into the real estate business, well, we're not sure if, you know, you need to advertise your picture because you look different. And I said, well, I think it's an advantage because I stand out over the other 100 agents in the market, because people see me in Walmart or Target and they say, hey, you're the real estate guy.
Yep.
So, wow. You know, I want to be remembered the guy that didn't give up. No matter how many times I got knocked down, I kept getting up.
I love that.
And let's talk a little bit. I mean, you mentioned that you teach your children some of these principles and strategies that you've used to overcome.
Right.
Tell us a little bit more about that. I mean, Mike and I have children, and so much of what we do to position our children to be successful is providing, you know, principles and showing them and teaching them, you know, what they should do and how they, you know, should use their manners and work hard. And you know, tell us a little bit about what you do, having experienced what you have.
Well, as you know, dealing with your own kids, you know, I tell people dealing with other kids are easy when you deal with your own. You know, they're judging you based on what they know about you because they know you the best. So, you know, you really got to work extra hard. And I got to see a glimpse of this when I traveled and did a lot of stuff with Tony Robbins. And I would see people that were great, phenomenal speakers doing great things around the world, but their kids were home on drugs, in and out of rehab, some of them committing suicide. And I said, what good does it do me to speak around the world if I'm not doing it at home first?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
What good am I doing to be successful if I'm not making my kids successful? So at an early age, I've always shared my business with my kids. I've taken them to speaking events with me, to real estate events, different motivational things that I go to. I let them be involved in it. And then I encourage them to read motivational books. You know, I don't pay kids to do chores. I pay them to complete motivational books. And my son,
I love that.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
You know, my son's 14 and he's read Think and Grow Rich, As a Man Thinketh, you know, Rich Man, Poor Man. So his thought level is so much higher than people that he's around because, you know, he feeds his brain with motivational stuff. Now, of course, he's a teenager too. You know, he loves playing Fortnite and doing those kind of stuff. But during the summer, you know, I gave him one of Andy Andrews' books to read, and it was called The Heart Mender. And, you know, he just loved that book. So it's all about sharing with them and just giving them that edge over people their age to where they're thinking one step ahead. And, you know, and that's really paid off with him and, you know, different things that he's been a part of because he doesn't think about the moment. He thinks about what's ahead of him and where he's going. And, you know, he's big about his why.
Yeah.
So, you know, with kids like that, it's all about giving them the tools and encourage them to, hey, do this and you're going to like what you get out of it. Nobody likes to read, but you like what you get out of it once you do it. So yeah. I really encourage parents to share with them. And it can start out, most parents, I tell them the simplest, easiest book to give a kid is the first book I ever read for motivation or personal development, and it's called Who Moved My Cheese? And that's a phenomenal book about getting your mindset right.
Yes, yes, that is a good book, no question. So I've heard, what is that? There's a quote, and I'm not exactly clear on how it goes, but it's something like kids are, they don't do what you say because they're too busy doing what they see you do or something like that. You guys,
right.
Yeah, at that coincides with your point. So you've mentioned books and the books that you've recommended to your son. What is, what's your favorite book of all time?
Well, you know, I'm constantly just reading. In every room of our house, I have books and magazines, and, you know, from entrepreneur magazines to business magazines. And then, you know, I would say the all-time, my favorite book is a book that I'd got recommended when I was around Tony Robbins, and it was called The Alchemist. Mm. And it was just, you know, all about following a journey and realizing, you know, and at the end of the journey, you realize that what you were seeking was inside of you the whole time. So, you know, so many people chase dreams and they don't realize that everything they wanted, they had within them. So to me, that was one of the best books I've ever read.
Mm. That reminds me of like that Acres of Diamonds, you know,
it's all within. Yeah. It's right there all along.
Yeah. Yeah. It's there. It's within. It's not external. That's fantastic. Well, Billy, tell us a little bit about, you know, for people that listen to the podcast, that listen to this show, and they want to follow you, and they like what they hear, and they want to stay connected. Where can folks find you?
It's very simple. Just go to billyjbrown.com, and on billyjbrown.com, you can find my book, Rising from the Ashes, How I Reclaimed My Life, and it gives you those tools and things that I've used to change my life. And from there, you can follow me. All my links of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you can click on there and follow me from my website.
And if we can revisit just the Tony Robbins the connection and how you met him along the way, can you tell us a little bit about how that changed? What were you doing before? And then what led you to that point? And then what happened afterwards?
Yeah, and a great story. It's amazing how destiny put you where you need to be at the right time. You know, I was in real estate having super amount of success. We had over 40 personally owned rental houses that we owned, and we got hit by Hurricane Katrina on the Gulf Coast here. And, you know, I had 10 houses washed away, gone, with no flood insurance. So we went from being financially independent to being financially, you know, bankrupt overnight. You know, we had to sell the house and move in with my in-laws. And, you know, I love my in-laws. I just didn't love them enough to have to live with them. So I tell anybody, if you need motivation, move in with in-laws, you'll get motivated to make money. But, you know, I got in a bad place. You know, I started feeling sorry for myself and, you know, typical human. I'm human. I'm not Superman, but, you know, my wife told me one day, said, you've got to do something to change your life. And somebody told me about Tony Robbins, and I didn't know who he was. So I went down to Orlando to an event, and, you know, was down there. There was a group of disabled people, and I was over there just serving them. Hey, do you need some water? Do you need a chair? Well, they thought I worked for him. I said, no, I don't work for him. I'm just here for the event. Well, one of Tony's employees told me, said, hey, since you're doing such a good job, why don't you help them? And we'll let y'all go in first. So they had a special seating, and I got them seated. And she said, hey, you can go to, come up here and sit on the front row. So I went from a $85 nosebleed ticket to sitting on the front row, which people paid $10,000 for.
Wow.
And I'm sitting next to, you know, one of the founders of Google. And the guy on my right was a founder of Zappos shoe company out in Las Vegas. So,
wow.
You know, here I'm sitting there so broke at the moment that I couldn't pay attention, surrounded by multimillionaires. And then got, you know, went to did a firewall, which is kind of crazy when you've been burned and they tell you to take your shoes off and you're going to walk on.
Right.
You know, you're going to walk on 1800 degree hot coal. So kind of had that old crap moment. I was like, oh, maybe I need to go back to Alabama. And so I got out there, did it. I ended up in his lane, you know, got to go backstage after that. His wife came and got me and said that he wanted to interview me. So, you know, I did an interview with him, and he said, hey, I want you to write a book. I want you to share your story. And I said, I don't know how to do it. He said, that's great. I'm going to pay out of my pocket to send you to Las Vegas to a speaker training boot camp. And I went to this boot camp. It cost like $8,000 just to go. Wow. Tony paid for that 100% out of his pocket, flew me out there. We stayed in this huge mansion, and everybody in there was either millionaires or billionaires going through this boot camp. So I was like, wow, you know, look at where I'm at. And, you know, they taught me how to share my message, and I wrote my book, and the rest is history. You know, I came out of there just on fire with a purpose in my life. And it made me realize that everything I went through, from the fire to losing everything through Katrina. And I said, you know, I went through all this so I can help people to go through the same situation.
Wow. Wow. I'm not sure I knew that, Billy. I don't believe that was shared when we heard you talk down in New Orleans, but that is incredible.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, it was kind of condensed.
Yeah. I mean, I love that. Yeah, I follow Tony and have been a big fan a long time, and I've done the firewalk also. That's incredible that, you know, you were there serving others, and lo and behold, you know, you're on the front row.
Right.
You know, that's incredible. And then you get to meet Tony, and he interviews you, and he helps to put you in position to tell your story to more people.
Yeah. And that is phenomenal. Billy, unpacking living with your in-laws, I just went through that and I lasted 4 days. So pretty strong motivation.
Absolutely.
That's good stuff.
Man, what part of Alabama are you from, Billy?
I live right outside of Mobile, so right here on the Gulf Coast. I live by the bay, so I get to walk out every morning and be right here by the water. So, you know, blessed to be here. We call it God's country, so really enjoy it. So a lot of football, a lot of fishing.
Oh, yeah. You excited for football season?
Roll Tide, yes.
Roll Tide. It has to be. There's no other. No.
Well, we're up here pretty close to Clemson. I know you don't want to hear that. You might not have called if I did. Yeah.
Well, he's all about overcoming obstacles, so, you know.
Right. I think Alabama's coming out. Yeah, Alabama's, they're coming out mad this year. I've heard.
Oh, yeah.
They're just, they're ready to right this ship, you know. I mean, they're always right, but, you know, Clemson just, you know, made it happen. But, yeah, I'm a big fan of Alabama and the system that Nick Saban has been able to create there. It's incredible. And it's all, you know, right, about belief and their, you know, what they feel they want to do, and they run their system and they focus on them once again, internally, instead of focusing on what other people are doing.
And just to recap, BillyJBrown.com to learn more about your phenomenal speaker, motivational, inspiration, leadership. You wrote a phenomenal book, Rising from the Ashes, How I Reclaim My Life. That's on Amazon for order now. And
yes.
that's the best way to contact you.
Absolutely.
All right. Very good. Well, Billy, thanks again for calling in. We very much appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us, to share your message, your story with our listeners. And
my pleasure.
And you're a good man. Keep doing the good work. And we look forward to staying in touch and really just continuing to help spread your message of hope and inspiration and overcoming obstacles in the face of adversity. So thank you, Billy.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, have a great day. This is Scott Pridemore with Mike Hagee. Thank you for joining us, Billy Brown. Have a great day.
Listen, download our podcast, or find out more about Charlotte Real Estate at PrideMoreProperties.com.